Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and I want to pick up reading in verse number 10. The Bible said this, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15 says this, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire." Now, I want to say this, and I'm going to come back to verse 15 before I close tonight and mention more about this. But verse 15, to me, is one of the greatest verses on eternal security in the Word of God. Because he said this, he said, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Here's what I want to talk to you about for the next few minutes tonight, the judgment seat of Christ. Father, I love you. I pray that you'd help us tonight. I pray, God, that you'd help us to remember the things that we've studied. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to get an understanding from your word tonight. God, help us to see the seriousness of serving you in these days, realizing that the day will come that we will stand before you and give an account for our service to you. I pray, God, Father, Lord, that you'd touch our hearts tonight. We'll give you the praise. God, if there's anybody here lost, please save them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. You know, I want to talk to you about the judgment seat of Christ. Simply put tonight, just very simply put, this is what we will encounter when we stand before a thrice holy God one day. I think a lot of times we have in our mind that we're going to die and we're going to go to heaven and everything's just going to be great once that's done. But, and let me just say this, heaven is going to be great. Heaven is going to be wonderful, amen? But there is a time in heaven when we're going to stand before a thrice holy God and we're going to give an account to Him for the work that we've done as the body of Christ, as the saved, before Him one day. And I personally believe, people believe different. Now, I'm not going to argue the fact with you. I personally believe that there'll probably be some crying at that. I know they will be at the great white throne judgment, because it's not until after all of that that God wipes every tear away. That's not as soon as we get to heaven. That's after all of that, the great white throne judgment. Those people are cast into hell. Then the tears are wiped away in heaven. So I really believe that there will be tears shed at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, as we think about this tonight, let me just jump into it and we'll go from there. I'll not get done tonight, but let me give you just a little bit about it tonight. Number one tonight, I would say this, who will appear before the judgment seat of Christ? Who is going to be there at the judgment seat of Christ? This will be for the saved. In verse number 11, he said, "For other foundation can no man lay that that he is laid, which is Jesus Christ. This great judgment seat is for the saved tonight. Those that are lost will not be there. Those that are lost and have already died, of course, they'll be in hell. And then those that are lost that are not dead will still be on earth. And again, that's a whole nother message within itself. But it is for the saved. That's who it's for that day. The lost will not be present, I don't believe, at the judgment seat of Christ. So we see that it is for the saved. There will be a judgment for the unsaved, though. There will be a judgment for the unsaved. When we go to Revelation chapter number 20, we can begin reading and we can look at that, what is known as the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment. This is the great white throne judgment. And these will be judged for their own works without the benefit of a Savior and will therefore be condemned to an eternal suffering in a place called hell or in the lake of fire. So when we think about who will be at this judgment seat of Christ, it is the saved. But when we think about the great white throne judgment, I believe that everybody will be present at the great white throne judgment. I don't believe that we're there to be judged. We're there to see the judging that takes place. Now I want to say this to you tonight. Without dealing with the great white throne judgment, I want to say this to you tonight. That will be a very sobering time in heaven when we see our loved ones that's died lost without God, when we see our friends that's died lost without God, brought before God and stood in the presence of an angry God, stood in the presence of a holy God, and as he tells them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, as he binds them and casts them into hell, that will be a sobering day. And I can promise you, there will be tears shed that day when we watch our friends and our family and our loved ones cast into hell. Now, I want to ask you this. I wonder if they'll look at you and say, why didn't you ever tell me? Why didn't you ever tell me? I'm dealing with a judgment scene. I'm going to come back to it. But while we're here, let me just mention it. I wonder if they'll look at us and say, why didn't you ever tell me? You went to church, but you never told me about Jesus. You never told me that I was going to die and go to hell if I wasn't saved. Why did you not ever tell me? I wonder that day. So we look at this judgment seat. Who will appear before the judgment seat of Christ? It's going to be the saved. Number two tonight, and we'll settle in and deal more with this. What is the fire that will be displayed at the judgment seat of Christ? Know with me what your Bible said in verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed, watch this, by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So who's going to be there? It's going to be the saved. But what is the fire? And this is not an alliterated outline, all right? This is just teaching, just line upon line, precept upon precept. Not. What is that fire right there? Well, you know what? If you'll read after about 20 different commentators, you'll get different ideas. I don't know if you've ever noticed that or not, but Brother Dakota, you get to reading and you think, well, man, I got a clear direction on this, and then somebody else says something completely different. So I just went back to this. The Bible said this, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who give it to all men freely. I believe the Bible speaks for itself. Now, I'm not against commentaries. Matter of fact, my wife just seen a big bill the other day where I ordered 11 new books and a new set of commentaries. But anyway, I'm not against that. I've probably got over 1,000 books whenever you count what I've got digital and everything else. But I'm telling you tonight, the greatest commentary on the Word of God is this right here. It is the Bible tonight. That's the greatest commentary on it. So what is this fire tonight? Well, let me tell you two things that I believe it is. I think this fire refers to the Scripture. I think it refers to the Scripture. What did the Bible say in Jeremiah 23:29? Let's just let the Bible speak for itself for a second. And here's what he said in Jeremiah 23:29. The scripture is referred to as fire. Is not my word like as a fire? That's what he says in Jeremiah. Scripture is said to be the judge. Listen to what the Bible said in Psalms 96:13. Says this, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. John 12:48 says this, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. So what is this fire tonight? I believe this fire is the word of God tonight. I believe that we're going to be judged based on the Bible tonight. You know, with every competition, and we're not in a competition tonight, but stay with me. With every competition, there is a set of rules. Is that not right? There's a set of rules. If you're going to do this or if you're going to do that. Matter of fact, last week we had youth camp, and before every game, they would give the rules for that game. Here's the way. If you're going to win, here's the way that it's going to be. You know what? We are not in a competition tonight, but Paul likens it to a competition several times. Paul likens us to a runner. Paul likens us to a wrestler. Paul likens us to a boxer. And can I say something? Then a runner's got a set of rules. A boxer's got a set of rules. A wrestler's got a set of rules. And you know what God done when he give us the word of God? He give us a set of rules, I believe in all of my heart, that we're going to be judged by one day. What is this fire? I believe it's the Scripture. The Scripture is complete. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 16 and 17 says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You say, well, what is the fire tonight? I believe that this fire refers to the Bible. Not only that, I believe the fire refers to Christ. I believe it refers to Christ. Listen to what the Bible said in Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2, verse number 18 and 19 says this, for unto the angel of the church at Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like a fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. What is he saying here? He says this. He says, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire. What is this fire tonight? I believe it's the Scriptures, but I believe it's the Savior. And I believe the Savior, Jesus Christ, is going to take the Scriptures, and that is what we will be judged by one day, is the Word of God. I thought about this. It's not my pastor who will judge me, or my church, or my denomination, or my parents, or my spouse, or my friends. It is Christ Himself who will judge the believer. This shows where our priorities should be. We must live to please the Savior and not to please others and not to please the church, not to please the people around us, but looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That fire is dealing with Christ tonight, and it's dealing with the Word of God. Christ says, hey, look, I've give you a Bible tonight. I've give you a set of rules tonight. I've give you a set of instructions tonight. And there's coming a day that you're going to stand in my presence and you're going to give an account and I'm going to judge you. And here's what I'm going to judge you by. It's by this book tonight. By this book tonight. We live our life pleasing to the Bible. You know what? Let me finish the statement before you judge me, okay? Because you're going to judge me. Let me finish the statement. We live our life pleasing to the Bible, even though sometimes the Bible is not pleasing to us. Let me finish. Our flesh does not like what the Bible says. Our flesh does not. Why did Paul say that I am crucified with Christ? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is saying this, I'm crucified with Christ. My old man died to Christ, died with Christ on the cross. I'm crucified with him. The Word of God, let me tell you the reason a lot of people changes the Word of God tonight. And I make no apologies. I stand firm on the King James Bible. You know that. You know that tonight. Let me tell you the reason so many is changing it tonight, because they don't like what it says. They don't like what it says. They want to take hell out of it. They want to take judgment out of it. They want it just to be that God is a God of love. He is a God of love. However, he's also a jealous God and a God that rains judgment down on the unjust. So this fire tonight is representing our Word of God, that Christ, our Savior, that paid our sin debt, will take one day, I believe in all of my heart, and judge us by. So, number one tonight, I see this. Who will appear before the judgment seat of Christ? It's the saved. Number two tonight, what is the fire that's displayed in this? It's Christ and it's the Scriptures. Again, let me say this to you, and I'm going to move on. Let me say this to you tonight. I'm not going to stand before God and give an account to my pastor. I'm going to stand before God and give an account to my God. Now, stay with me. This is hard to preach sometimes when you're in your own church. I believe you ought to be submissive to that pastor. I believe if that pastor is walking in the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, I believe that you'll be judged off of that. I believe you'll be judged. I remember, and you've heard me give this illustration before, but I remember years ago, I hadn't been here long at all, and we was dealing with something, and I asked Brother Robert what he thought, and here's exactly what he said. He said, I'm not going to stand before God for the decision that you're fixing to make. I'm going to stand before God for how I back you as my pastor. Now, look, if I'm going wayward, if I'm out of the King James Bible, if it's false doctrine, if I'm doing something plumb off in left field, he should raise a red flag on it. He should. But a lot of times deacons think they, and we don't have this here, but they think they run the church. Some woman thinks she runs the church. Some deacon's wife. We don't have that problem. Thank God for that. I mean, Christy, every once in a while we have to jerk her back in line, but thank God. She said, I knew he was going to say something about me. See there? She's back talking to preacher. Why he's preaching? We don't have that problem here. But Brother Robert said, I'm going to stand before God for the way that I back you as my pastor. And boy, that's so true tonight. Let me tell you who's going to stand for God, stand before God for the leadership of this church. I am. One thing, I'm just going to say this and I'm going to move on. One thing that some people does not like is this. We do not do a Sunday school teacher election. The Sunday school teachers are appointed by the pastor. I talk to the deacons and then we appoint them. I appoint them. You say, why do you do that? Here's the reason I do that. Sometimes the pastor's dealing with things in the church that not everybody else knows about. And you may think, boy, old Aaron, man, he's got his head screwed on right and he's doing everything right. And behind the scenes, I'm fighting the devil and hell itself because of all the turmoil he's stirring in the church. But a lot of people don't ever see it. Now, he's not, Bethany. But he's not. I'm going to stand before God who those teachers are. I'm going to stand before God how we spend the money of our church and the missions money. That all comes down on the pastor. I'm not going to stand before the church for that. I'm going to stand before God for that. You know what you're going to stand before God for? You're going to stand before God for the way that you love the man of God, you support the man of God, you back the man of God. Now, number three, let me give you this, and time's flying by because time flies when we're having fun. Number one, what did we say? Who's going to be there to save? Number two, what is the fire? The fire is dealing with Christ, and the fire is dealing with the Scriptures. Now, let me show you one more thing tonight, and again, this is not going to conclude this. We're going to keep going, but what is the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ? What's the purpose of it? There is a purpose or it wouldn't be there. Somebody say amen. Christ just didn't go, you know what, I think I'm going to bring all of them for me and I'm going to judge them one day. No, there is a purpose to the judgment seat. The judgment seat does not pertain to salvation, but to service. Can I say that to you again? The judgment seat does not pertain to salvation, but to service. I'm not going to be judged over my sins. I'm going to be judged over my service. My sins was taken care of on Calvary. Let me show you something. You in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look in verse number 8. The Bible said this, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his," watch this, "own reward according to his," watch the next two words, "own labor." In other words, I'm not going to be rewarded for what Brother Brian does. No, it's our own labor. Look again in verse number 10. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Look in verse 13. "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Look in verse number 15. "If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So you say, "Preacher, the judgment seat doesn't deal with salvation." No, it deals with service. Salvation was a free gift by God. What did the Bible say in Ephesians 2, 8, 9? "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Matter of fact, 14 times in the Word of God, it's called a gift. And a gift is the very opposite of a reward. A gift is something that is purchased by someone else and is given to me freely. If I pay anything whatsoever for it or work to earn it in any of the slightest ways, it is no longer a gift. Christ purchased the believer's eternal salvation by himself. Listen to what the Bible said in Hebrews 1:3. "Who being in the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his power," or his person, "and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Jesus paid our sin debt. After you are saved by God's grace, then we are to serve the Lord who saved us. And the judgment seat of Christ will examine our service to the Lord. Now, I'm going to say this in passing. If you just done it for somebody else to see you and for you to get glory off of it, you ain't going to get no reward in heaven. Can I just throw that out there? Some people, they're willing to work as long as everybody can see them. As long as everybody can see them. As long as they can be in the spotlight, they're willing to work. I remember my daddy giving an illustration about a man one time, and he never called the man's name, but he didn't have to because I was the preacher's son. I figured out who it was. But he would give, but every time that he gave, he wanted everybody to know it was from him and how much it was. He didn't get no reward in heaven. That's not giving praise to God. That's not a service to God. Hey, look, if there's some people, I told my wife this the other day. I said, there's some people, they're not going to be at the show unless they're part of the show. In other words, they're not going to be on the back scenes making everything happen on the back scenes. They're not going to do that. Last week we was at camp, and man, we had a great time at camp, man. It was wonderful. And you that was there, we had good food at camp, had real good food at camp. But that food just didn't show up at camp. Somebody on the back scene worked for months leading into camp, putting a menu together, figuring out how much of this it would take and how much of that it would take, and how many bags of French fries do you buy to feed 400 people and the preacher. Because he had to have them every day but one, and I'm still bitter about that because they didn't fix me none that one day. I'm not holding no bitterness towards Regina, but I'm just saying they didn't fix no French fries for me that day. Somebody had to do that. And you know, when all the kitchen staff got there to work on Monday morning, all of that was already in its place ready to go. Now, she didn't do this to be recognized, but Miss Regina was the one that worked behind the scenes. You hear me tell you what's going to happen when she gets to heaven? There's going to be a reward in heaven for that. If we're just doing it for people to see us, hear me and hear me well, we will not be rewarded in heaven. We'll be rewarded for our service to Him that we've done with a humble heart for Him. So the judgment seat does not pertain to our salvation. It pertains to our service. Then I'll show you this. The judgment seat of Christ is not for punishment, but for rewards or loss of rewards. The judgment seat of Christ has nothing to do with punishment. Our punishment has already been taken care of. Our punishment fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God, at Calvary. The judgment seat has nothing to do with punishment. It has to do with gaining a reward or losing a reward. And all of that is based off of our service, not our salvation, our service to the Lord. Simply put, the judgment seat of Christ is like an athlete competing in the Olympics. If he loses the race, he loses the crown. If he wins the race, then guess what? He wins the crown. And simply put, that's what the judgment seat of Christ is. What is the crown? Well, there's five of them. If you've got another hour, we'll go into that tonight. There's five crowns that can be won. I'm not going to go into all of that. The judgment seat is simply us giving an account for our service to God. I thought about this today, Miss Tanya, if you don't care to start playing softly. I thought about this today. I've been in several courtrooms. I've testified a time or two. And I hope I never have to again, but I've testified a time or two. And thankfully, the main one that I went for a character witness for is in church today serving God. They're not here. It was in another place. But anyway, they're serving God. I'm thankful for that. But, you know, it was pretty intimidating, Dakota, sitting there that day. And the honorable, everybody stands. And, you know, I'm afraid to move. You know, I made sure my tie was tied right, Brother Brian. I made sure my hair was fixed right. I made sure my shirt tail was tucked in. I mean, they can do whatever they want to do. It's their courtroom. If they don't like the way that you're looking at them, they can hold you in contempt. I made sure everything was right. I didn't even take no phone with me, which you can't now, but back then you still could. I didn't take no phone. I just knew something would happen. I'd get 24 hours solitary confinement. Daddy said he'd come see me, thank God. But it was pretty intimidating sitting there and that judge walking out. Really was. But I'm going to tell you something that we really cannot even begin to comprehend how serious it's going to be. That's the judgment seat of Christ. We're not just going to be standing before a judge. We're going to be standing before God. It's not going to be a time of laughter. It's going to be a very serious and a very sobering time. We're not there to be judged for our sins. Thank God. Thank God. Our sin debt's paid. But we are going to be judged for our service to Him. We just dilly-dally around, don't really do much for Him. Everybody okay tonight? Let's just put it right on down there where the rubber meets the road. We brush shoulders with people every day that we don't tell about God. We have multiple opportunities a day to invite people to church. We've had, and don't nobody get upset. We've had a whole month of reaching our Jerusalem month, and I done it trying to see if we would end up knocking on more doors. And I try our best to make things as convenient for everybody as we can. But how many doors have we knocked on this month? Oh, well, preacher, I just didn't have time. Really? Do we really need to pull that excuse out? Did you watch TV any? Did you look on social media any? I'm preaching to me as much as anybody. I visited some this month, but Brother Aaron, I'm the first to say I could have visited more. I could have visited more. We got time to do everything else. The truth of the matter is this, Jesus is coming real fast. This thing's about to wrap up. I believe that in all of my heart. I believe He could come back before we get out of this building. It might be 2,000 more years, but I don't see how. I really don't. I mean, I don't know. There's other men in here knows the Bible a whole lot better than me, but about the only thing that I can find that we're waiting on is for the last one to get saved. That's about it. We fixing to check out. What have we done for the Lord? I'm not going to give an account for my sin. And boy, I'm so thankful for that. But I am going to give an account for my service. Boy, I'd hate to know that God trusted me with a Sunday school class and I waited till Saturday night at 9 o'clock to try to throw a Sunday school lesson together to get up on Sunday morning and teach kids or even adults. As far as that goes, we're going to give an account for that. That's a service to Him. We're going to give an account for that. Our service tonight. I want to hear Him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." But the only way we'll ever hear that is if we've done well. If we've been faithful to Him. Well, we'll stump our toe and 13 of the family will stay out of church for 2 weeks. Boy, I stumped mine today and it hurt. It still hurt. If you've never... It sounds crazy, but Brother Tim, if you've never had a spur off of a boot to go across your toe with just socks on, it hurts. It still hurts. I thought about going barefooted tonight and staying home. But how true is that? Well, I'm just tired. We're going to give an account to God for our faithfulness. It's summertime, preacher. Everybody ought to be hollering, "Amen, you're here." You're not somewhere else. You're here tonight. It's one of those times where you can go, "Amen, preacher, you're right. Preach on. Hallelujah." But let's be real. How many times do we make those excuses?